Hello and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Megan Rickson and my co-host today is Grace Joaquin. And we will be joined in just a couple of minutes by two of our fabulous career connectors, student employees here in the Career Center, who will be helping us out with some fun trivia we're doing. But if you've ever wanted to move out of Michigan, adventure out of Michigan, maybe your dream job is based somewhere else, then today's episode is for you. So, Grace, have you ever worked out of state? I mean, I know the answer to this because we talked about it on the podcast, but I'll just throw that question over to you.
Yes. And I honestly, it wasn't my initial plan, but I graduated with my teacher certification in 2013, where there wasn't a lot of jobs in Michigan for teaching at that time. So I went to the out-of-state teacher fair here at Grand Valley, and I've told the story before, so apologies to those of you who have heard this.
I hope we have loyal listeners who have heard us talk about
long-time
this before.
but I did end up taking a job in Arizona, which, again, was not my original plan, but it was one of the best decisions I've ever made. It was such a good experience to just live somewhere else for a little while. I ended up staying there for 3 years, and I really recommend it to anyone who's considering looking out of state. It was life-changing for me in good ways. How about you, Megan?
Yeah, I've lived outside of Michigan and worked outside of Michigan, but kind of had a unique circumstance because I lived in the Netherlands, and it was for my husband's job, but I was able to continue working on a super part-time basis for Grand Valley, and I got kind of sent around to a few other countries to check out internship programs, to do a little bit of recruiting for the admissions office here. And yeah, I completely agree that moving somewhere different, if it's for work, even if it's just, you know, a little bit of travel that you're trying to do, it definitely opens your mind and, you know, just gives you a different perspective.
And I love your example too, Megan, because I feel like that's more and more common where people are maybe working in different states, countries, et cetera, but the employer is not where they're working.
Exactly. So yeah, right. Kind of those remote opportunities that allow you to live where you want to live, but still have a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, so let's move into the trivia game portion of our podcast today. And basically, the rules for this little game is whatever we feel like doing. So I am going to, and Grace will both ask some questions about what it's like to either do a job search out of state or live out of state. And then our career connectors will kind of jump in and give us their thoughts. And then we'll also be sure to share some tips related to each of those questions. So let's bring in Hannah Zillman and Elizabeth Gibbs. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
All right. So, Hannah, let's start with you. Why don't you just give a little bit of an introduction of yourself, what you're doing here at Grand Valley, and if you have any sort of a connection to this job search out of state.
Yeah. So both of us actually are in our senior year, and we actually had a class together freshman year. So it's kind of fun now that we work together.
Yeah, it was the career exploration class, too. It was like the career exploration one. So we actually like were exploring what we wanted to study, too. And that's how we met each other.
That's amazing.
Fun little backstory, but I am an environmental sustainability major with an advertising and PR minor, and I will be moving to Montana in the fall, so I'm kind of in the lookout for a new job, and I'm hoping to do some seasonal work just to kind of pass the time after I graduate, have some fun, but I also did an internship in France, so I have had experience going abroad and moving and trying to find a job.
How was the internship abroad?
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. It was a great opportunity, and I'm very glad that I got that chance to do that.
Was that through like a Grand Valley sponsored program, or did you find that on your own?
It was actually through a professor that I had that used to work there. She had a colleague that was looking for an intern, and I knew that I had wanted to study abroad in France. I was hoping to get a French minor as well, but with COVID, my study abroad got canceled. So it was a little bit of a disappointment, but I still got the opportunity then to go there and get an internship working for my major. So it was a good combination of both things that I kind of needed.
Wow, that's perfect.
That sounds like so much fun.
Sounds amazing.
And France and Montana. France is one of my favorite countries I've been to, and Montana is probably my favorite state I've been to. So
same for me.
Got some good taste.
You're doing something right.
Thanks.
This is good. All right. So, Elizabeth, same question to you.
Yeah. So, as Hannah mentioned, I'm a senior this year. I'm studying psychology and sociology, and then I'm currently accepted into the grad program here at Grand Valley for College of Student Affairs and Leadership next
year.
Yay.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Okay. So, should we jump into our game?
Yes. I have the first question, I believe.
Okay. I was going to ask that, Grace. No, I'm just kidding. You were supposed to.
Yes, please. I have the script right here, Megan. All right. So question one. According to a survey conducted by College Pulse, about what percentage of college seniors want to move out of state for their first job?
Am I supposed to just take a shot in the dark at what percent?
Yes, shot in the dark.
Oh, boy. I'm going to guess probably 40%.
You hit the nail on the head.
Oh, I did not look at the sheet. I promise. I was a total guess.
That's good job. Yeah, so approximately 40%. Exactly right. These numbers change slightly for in-state and out-of-state students, so 37% and 42% respectively. Despite about 1 in 4 students wanting to move out of state, Grand Valley's first destination survey from 2020 to 2021 graduates indicates that approximately 85% of graduates are living and working in the state of Michigan. I will say I have like a fun little fact about that off the top of my head. When I moved to Arizona, I noticed that most of the people who live there were not from there. And I thought that was interesting because that's not how Michigan is. And so I Googled it, and it talked about how there are some sticky states and some magnet states. Mm-hmm. And Michigan is a sticky state, which means that people who are born here often stick here. And Arizona is a magnet state, which means that it draws a lot of people to move there.
Which makes sense, the weather.
Yeah. So I know.
Why do we stay? Why is it sticky?
I think because everyone else sticks. So all of our friends and family, they just trap us here. But we love it. We love it.
It's a safe state. There's not too much danger going on.
I know. Yeah.
And we have four seasons, which I love. I mean, winter's a little long, but anyway.
Anyway, we're talking about out of Michigan.
Yes.
We'll do another podcast on how great Michigan is.
Right. Not the goal today.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. So next question. Besides the state of Michigan, what state has the largest number of GVSU graduates?
I would have to guess one like in the Midwest area, just because I feel like a lot of people, like as you're saying, like people tend to stay in Michigan. So I feel like a lot of people would stay in this area still.
You got to pick one. Got to pick one state.
Maybe Illinois, just because I feel like so many people who go to Grand Valley like are from Illinois, so I feel like they'd maybe go back home there, just because Chicago's like a big city too, and it's like very close to here, so that would be my guess.
Elizabeth, you're so right.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know, it's like we set this up, but we actually didn't.
they're just good.
Yeah, I think for exactly those reasons Illinois is the highest. According to GVSU's alumni relations office, we have 3,026 alums there. Any guesses on the second one? Either of you?
I just saw it.
I would guess, I don't know, actually. Maybe, like, New York, because I feel like that's kind of similar to Michigan's weather, too, and, like, bigger cities there, but I don't actually know.
Yeah, it's actually Florida with a little over 2,000 alums, and then California. But I would imagine New York is up there somewhere, because I feel like New York City is just a draw for a lot. Yeah. All right. So the first tip around this question would be to not only just start applying to positions. Of course, that's part of it. But connecting with recruiters out of state is a great step in an out-of-state job search. LinkedIn can come in really handy for this. And what you'll be able to do is start to, you know, have some conversations. Maybe that's through the LinkedIn messaging feature. Maybe that's by, you know, communicating via email, or hopefully even taking it a step further to set up some informational interviews. We had mentioned alums, and I think connecting with alumni who live out of state is going to be huge. So tip number two is use LinkedIn. We actually do have an episode earlier this season, episode 2, where we give lots of tips on how to leverage LinkedIn. So we definitely recommend checking that out. And then tip number three, when you graduate, we encourage you to fill out the Career Center's first destination survey. This is something that will be emailed to you. multiple times if you don't fill it out, because we like to get responses for this because it really helps us to stay up to date with our alums and help to create networking opportunities. You can also join GVSU affinity or regional networks by visiting the alumni relations office. So there's lots of ways to kind of stay in touch, I think, with that alumni network and really try to tap into that as much as possible.
And I do think alumni love to help other Lakers, mm-hmm. but also just in general, when you move to a new state, if you have a connection with anyone there, in my experience, people are so friendly and willing to chat with you, meet for lunch, show you around. Like, yes. People are very helpful typically, yep. and love to make those connections. So don't hesitate.
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be like for the express purpose of talking about your career,
yeah,
or sometimes, finding a job. Sometimes it's just you need somebody to talk to and learn the great areas to live and things like that. And then maybe they know people who work in your industry or something like that and could kind of help you in that way.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, great tips, Megan. And let's move on to question three. So, Hannah, do you want to answer this one?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. True or false, Michigan standards for professional licensure apply to all states?
I would have to say false.
You got it. Good job. Ding,
ding, ding. We need to like put in some like
I know
music for all these right answers.
We need sound effects.
Yeah, we need a sound effect.
Higher budget, please. So a tip for that is if you are in a field that requires professional licensure, such as social work, education, speech pathology, medicine, etc., you will need to research the licensure requirements for the state you intend to move to. Each state manages their professional licenses slightly differently and may have different requirements to apply or keep your license and practice your profession. Career One Stop has a license finder tool that can help locate the licensing agencies for your profession in different states. I will say, as a teacher, I dealt with this when I moved to Arizona, and it honestly wasn't that bad. Like, they kind of helped me, the school I was working with helped me figure out what I needed to do, and it was like, take a couple of classes and take one more exam. It really wasn't too terrible. So just make sure you're prepared for that, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I think using that Career One Stop license finder.
Yeah.
Then you have a better sense of what you're kind of walking into. And, you know, maybe it's really tough, right? I know social work has a lot of hoops.
Yes.
And that's to jump through.
Something to think about, too. If you're looking into grad school and you're thinking you might want to live in another state, maybe you look at grad programs in the state you eventually want to move to,
right?
If there's licensure involved,
right? Could so make it a little easier on you.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Okay, our next question, we'll shoot over to Elizabeth. True or false, you should have a PO box in every location you plan to apply for jobs?
I would say that one would be false. It might be helpful to have a PO box in like a similar area that you're applying for, because for my internship last summer, actually, it was on the east side of the state, and I was about to move apartments, so I had to have my paycheck sent to an address, so I had them all sent to my parents' house, which was a little bit inconvenient, but so it can make it easier, I'd say, if you have a PO box that can be sent to, but it's not completely necessary at the same time.
Yeah, you're right again.
Yes. we hire people who are too great at this job.
Exactly. You guys know what you're talking about. So I think definitely for the reasons you mentioned, Elizabeth, it could come in really handy. A PO box out of state, it just can be a helpful tool in a job search outside of the state, because it indicates, you know, that you're putting some time and energy, that you probably are likely to move there. You then have that state's address on your resume, all of that good stuff. But, you know, it's not like you need to go out and get 10 PO boxes if you're planning to move, if you have an open job search and you don't have one, you know, specific location. Having that is not a necessity, but could be something that works in your favor, especially if you are really targeting one specific geographical location.
Yeah, that's good advice. All right. Are we ready for question five?
Yes.
So, Hannah, congrats. You just got an interview out of state. Right. And the organization is paying for all of your travel expenses. After a fantastic interview process, the company extends an offer of employment, but you reject it as you have accepted another job better suited to your needs. You then receive a bill detailing your interview expenses. Is this legal?
Ooh, I don't know. That's a hard one. I'm going to say false because I would think that you're not actually an employee yet, so you wouldn't have any connection that they would be able to charge you for it.
Honestly, that's what I would have thought too.
I know.
But it actually is legal.
What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm actually glad that I'm reading this one because I'm learning something new. You should always check to see if there are stipulations for travel reimbursement before interviewing with a company, because some organizations will only pay for your interview travel if you accept the job offer.
Interesting.
So this, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised. I've never heard this happening, but clearly it's legal and it can.
Good to know for sure.
Yeah. So it is important to know prior to applying for multiple positions out of state if you would like to have travel reimbursed. So
gotcha.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So tips with that. Tip number one, when applying for out of state positions, you may be able to ask if the company would be able to host the interview virtually or if they cover travel for interviewing. As always, thoroughly read the job posting and company website to see if they are listed, if they've listed these policies, so that you're not like asking questions that you should already know the answer to. Mm-hmm. If the organization does not specify what they offer for travel, it is fair game to ask. Depending on the type of position or where the organization is in the hiring process, you may be required to interview in person. When I did it in Arizona, they did allow me to do it virtually. So that was nice.
Yeah, and I would say that's more common now in the post-COVID era.
Yeah. Tip number two, be strategic. If the positions you are applying to either don't cover travel or stipulate that you must accept an offer to receive travel reimbursement, you may reconsider how well the position aligns with your professional goals. You may also be able to align your interviews in a certain location so that you aren't making several trips to the same city to interview for positions. However, it is considered inappropriate to combine interviews in the same trip mm-hmm. if one organization is covering the costs for your trip. That's a good tip to know. The etiquette of travel. And then finally, tip three, if you know you might not accept a position for any reason, let the hiring manager know as soon as possible. Organizations commit a lot of resources to the hiring process, and it is best to be as timely as you can if you know you will not be continuing forward in the hiring process, which is never a fun conversation, but it's important.
Yes. Be upfront as soon as you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Anna.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we are on our last question. So this is another true or false, Elizabeth. True or false, you can live abroad while working remotely for a U.S. company?
I would say that one's true. I feel like it's so common now that people live so far from like where the company is. So I'd say as long as the hours align and the company is okay with it, that you'd be able to live anywhere.
You are right. That is definitely true, but there are a few caveats that we want to make sure we mention. So working remotely for a U.S. employer can be a great way to have flexibility on your location. And this, you know, yeah, it might be outside of Michigan, somewhere in the States, or it could even be abroad. So there are both organizational and legal requirements, though, that you might need to meet in order to do so. So, of course, having permission from your employer. But then there are all these fun things like work visas, tax considerations. I know when we lived in the Netherlands, we had to pay taxes in both places.
Oh,
That's
not fun.
You got a little bit of a break on one side, but yeah, you have to look through some of the fine print of this stuff. According to law.com, many countries have begun to adopt specific visa policies for employees who travel the world while working remotely. These people are digital nomads, which sounds fun. I want to be one.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is definitely a case, especially with moving abroad, where you got to do your research and talk to the right people. Tip number two, then, is we do have a starter's guide for working abroad on the Career Center website, where we list some resources, some tips for searching for international job opportunities, that sort of thing. So if that is something that you're targeting, is even moving outside of the U.S., not just outside of Michigan, take a look at that guide. It can be a good starting point.
Be very helpful.
Okay. That is all of our questions for today.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Who got more right? I wasn't keeping track.
I don't know. I think you
both did really good.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, actually. I wasn't paying attention.
I think we had only one.
I think I was the only one that got one wrong. So Elizabeth got
them all. So Elizabeth technically, but both of you did awesome.
Yes,
thanks.
You both did
you
really
both win.
Well. Yes, two winners, of course. All right. Well, thank you, Hannah and Elizabeth, for joining us.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, of course. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. All right. I think that's all we have, Grace. So I just want to thank everyone so much for listening, and we hope you tune in to a future episode soon.